A big payday for shareholders at Bank of America. From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Midday Update podcast. It is Friday, September 28th. We're going to send you into the weekend with a few good stories here, including why fewer U.S. students are going to graduate school and the return on Saturday of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But first, and I know that sounds like fun, but first, before the Turtles, banking. Bank of America will pay $2.4 billion to shareholders as part of a settlement announced this morning. The bank admits no wrongdoing, but the settlement is basically compensation for maybe not telling shareholders the whole story when B of A bought the struggling brokerage Merrill Lynch back in 2008 at the height of the financial crisis. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is here. Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Jeff.
So what did Bank of America do wrong here?
It kept its shareholders in the dark. When it bought Merrill Lynch, it didn't revealed to shareholders that Merrill Lynch might have, around $70 billion of losses due on its books. Mm. And obviously, those shareholders got really mad.
And it's fair to say, though, in B of A's defense a little bit, the government was really leaning on them at the time to acquire Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you take a time machine back to September 15th, 2008, when all this was happening, Bank of America was actually going to buy Lehman Brothers that weekend. And Lehman Brothers, as we know, went on to fail. So they were pressed by the government to buy Merrill Lynch because otherwise all those losses that Bank of America took would have gone to the government because Merrill Lynch would have been a ward of the state. So the government was really pushing for this deal to happen. And that's probably why Bank of America felt like it had some leeway not to say publicly how much in losses Merrill was sitting on.
So this was a big one. A lot of people were watching. But are there a lot of other cases like this out there? Angry shareholders who feel they were deceived during the financial crisis?
Yes, as many as stars in the sky. I mean, this is the legacy of the financial crisis. What we learned from it is that when really things are up against the wall, when the trouble comes, when the crisis is there, banks and people in power will mislead the public to save their hides. And that's what happened in this case. And obviously now the shareholders are getting some restitution, but nowhere near the kind of restitution that they should get for the money that they lost during this time, and especially for the trust that they lost in a bank that they thought would tell them the truth. And it wasn't just Bank of America. Obviously, a lot of other banks did similar things.
And very quickly, do you think the resolution of this case has any lessons? Will it be taken to heart by the financial industry?
It should, because I think it holds the seeds of why the financial industry lost its trust. If you have shareholders that own your company, you have to be straight with them. And let's hope that in the next financial crisis, banks remember that.
Heidi Moore in New York, thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Well, a few hours into the trading day, stocks are down. Bank of America is down. Shares in B of A down just about 1% on news of that settlement. And the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, all those major indices, are down about 0.5% at this hour. Shares in Europe had a tough day. Yesterday's bump that came from a concrete cost-cutting plan finally from Spain, well, that joy has faded fast. Here in the U.S., consumer spending rose 0.5% in August. That's the most in 6 months. But a large chunk of that was us paying more for gas. And Apple this morning says, I'm sorry. CEO Tim Cook posted an online letter to iPhone customers saying that with its Apple Maps application, the company fell short of its commitment to making best-in-class products. People who bought the new iPhone 5 or upgraded the software on their old iPhones have been forced to use Apple Maps instead of Google Maps, which used to be the standard. Cook says Apple will be working nonstop until Apple Maps is up to snuff. And on a sort of related note, we note a passing in the tech world for users of Apple's neglected social network, Ping. Better get on there and start pinging some people, I guess, while you still can. After two uneventful years, Ping goes to social media heaven at midnight on Saturday. It is survived for now by Friendster, MySpace, and Google+.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune in to Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
American Airlines is threatening to take its pilots union to court. American accuses the pilots of disrupting flights by calling in sick and calling for unnecessary maintenance. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on what's behind the battle.
American is in bankruptcy protection, trying to restructure. It's trying to impose new pay and work rules on its pilots. They're not happy. Their union hasn't called for any official action, but American says pilots are filing more maintenance complaints and flying circuitous routes. Seth Kaplan is managing partner at Airline Weekly magazine. He says all the delays aren't just coincidence.
You don't suddenly have far more people getting sick at the same time, far more mechanical issues. Something organized is going on.
The union says it's not fair that American is using bankruptcy protection to impose pay cuts, and it says the problems are due to old planes and a pilot shortage. But American says the percentage of pilots calling in sick has increased at least 20% a month. Airline analyst Richard Abulafia says part of the problem is it took so long for American to file for bankruptcy protection. Now its competitors have reorganized and merged, and it's still struggling.
What American is doing now is basically playing catch-up and trying to get its cost in line with its competitors before it loses even more market share.
And that's a real possibility. American has had many more canceled and late flights than its competitors, and its passengers aren't happy. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
For the second straight year, fewer students enrolled in U.S. graduate schools. According to a report this morning, overall enrollment fell almost 2% last year, though there's a lot of nuance behind that figure. The report came from the Council of Graduate Schools, of which Deborah Stewart is the president. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you.
How do you explain the decline in grad school enrollment?
Well, the first thing to point out is that overall, of course, we're experiencing a decline of 1.7%. But that decline varies greatly depending upon citizenship. First-time enrollment for U.S. citizens is actually down 2.3%, but for international students, there's a strong increase of 7.8%. So the decline story is really a story for U.S. students.
And what's going on with those U.S. students?
For students, the growing debt burden on undergraduate students is clearly deterring students from pursuing advanced degrees. So debt matters, and it's compounded by the fact that there's financial stress on institutions, resulting in a kind of instability of offers that impacts both institutions and students.
Which, if any, graduate programs out there are bucking the trend?
Well, there is really only one, and that's the health sciences. Now, that's in contrast to a decline in arts and humanities of 5%, a decline of about 0.8% in the biological sciences, a very modest increase of 0.8% in business.
Sounds like maybe there is money for people going into the healthcare fields. Why is that?
Well, there is both money and there is a kind of general sense from simply reading the morning newspaper that there's a strong future in the health sciences in America. But the fact of the matter is we need experts across a wide array of areas in America if we're to compete in the global economy. And in that context, these numbers are disturbing.
Deborah Stewart, president of the Council of Graduate Schools, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
I promised the Turtles, and here you go. This Saturday, kids cable channel Nickelodeon is going to reboot Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So for all you 80s kids, time to wax nostalgic. Anyway, Nickelodeon and its parent company, Viacom, are hoping the Heroes in a Half Shell can help boost sagging ratings. Here's Marketplace's Adrian Hill.
There's a whole generation of us who still know the theme song for the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in a Half Shell.
Turtle power.
Nickelodeon's revamp has some of the same words, but a new sound. The question is just how much turtle power is left, because Nickelodeon needs a little rescuing.
About this time last year, Nickelodeon fell off the proverbial cliff.
Todd Yanger is a media analyst at Sanford Bernstein.
Nickelodeon, which has been the number one kids network for 13 years, is now at best the number two network and is sort of neck and neck for number three with the Cartoon Network.
Porter Bibb from MediaTek Capital Partners isn't sure kids are going to go for the new Turtles.
It could catch on, but it's unlikely. It's going to be seen, I think, as a retread.
Mom and Dad singing along probably won't help the cool factor. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And wrapping up here, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we told you about an amazing find. A woman bought a box of junk, basically, at a West Virginia flea market for $7. And it turned out to contain a Renoir painting that was worth maybe $100,000. Well, that painting was supposed to go up for auction tomorrow, but at the last minute it has been removed from the block. Turns out Landscape on the Banks of the Seine may have been stolen from the Baltimore Museum of Art in 1951. Easy come, easy go. And finally, Costa Rica has jungles, coral reefs, beautiful weather. Spent my honeymoon there, as a matter of fact. Well, now Costa Rica is finally getting some street signs, 22,000 of them. The capital, San Jose, has never had signs or even names for most streets, which was quaint, but it cost about $720 million a year in stalled or misdirected mail. And taxi drivers will no longer have to take directions based on landmarks like, apparently, the McDonald's arches and a famous but long-dead fig tree. That's all for the Marketplace Midday Update for today. I'm Jeff Horwich, coming from American Public Media, APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.